Christmas time to come in, Christmas time to come in, Christmas time to come in, and I know I'm going.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Tuesday, December 4th, 2018. Happy Tuesday, Marianne.
Happy Tuesday, Mark.
Hey, happy Tuesday, everyone.
Cheer us. Before long, we will be saying 2019.
Yeah, 2019. Well, it's the 4th, and in 4 days, the debut of the Great News Radio Children's Choir is going to happen this Saturday. Come on, everyone. Plan on coming out to the Village Mall in Danville, right on Vermilion Street. We're near the AMC Theater. So if you park in the back side of that mall area and walk in through that door, go down the hallway, you'll see our staging set up. We'll have our Prime Lifetimes papers there to hand out, other radio resources. You can maybe win a prize. If you fill out a Voice to Listener Radio survey, we'll have Singing Men CDs as a great holiday gift. If you make a donation, you can pick up It's a Wonderful Life CD, and you'll certainly enjoy the debut of the Children's Choir along with the Singing Men of GNN dressed in their tuxedos. Festive event, free concert. It'll begin at noon. So come and support the children, the Singing Men, the radio station, the Prime Lifetimes. Make a day of it. And if you see the mall manager or those that are at the mall, thank them for allowing the Singing Men to be there and to host it so that we had a place to sing. And they're going to be setting up, I don't know, a couple hundred chairs at least, so there'll be seating available, and I'd love to exceed their seating, so they have to go and find more chairs. So that's happening at noon this Saturday. So
very fun.
Yeah, we're excited. Singing Men had another great rehearsal. It was our dress rehearsal last night, so
they
all
wore their
crying.
Tuxes?
Not at the rehearsal.
Oh,
but
okay.
Dress rehearsal, meaning that this is our final rehearsal until this Saturday. So they're set. Then on Thursday, the children will have their dress rehearsal, if you will. And then come Saturday, we'll sing. So
it's time.
It's going to be about 6 or 7 songs of the Singing Men. Then the children, I think, will do come on stage and sing 3 songs. Then there'll be a couple Singing Men solos. And then we'll close out with 3 or 4 more songs. And then I think the children will join the Singing Men, and there'll be 3 sing-alongs.
Oh, great.
So that'll be about an hour and 15 or so minute program, all happening this Saturday. And then if for some reason you can't make it this Saturday, or you're going to make it this Saturday, there'll be another chance on the 22nd. At the Marketplace Mall in Champaign, right in the food court. And we always have 600, 800, 1,000 people. We always jam the food court. They set up all the seating, and then they have a lot of additional seating there in the food court. And there's that, I think it's Sudoku. It's a Chinese restaurant, but there's a lot of Mexicans.
Sudoku.
Well, I was trying to think.
That's a puzzle.
It's like Sarko.
Sarku or something.
Yeah.
We need to quiet.
But those guys,
don't know what we're saying.
Some of those guys have worked there for like 10 or 15 years,
that's
so they always look forward, and I always get my teriyaki chicken afterwards.
Oh, that's so
always.
Funny. Really?
So I always go up in a tuxedo, and they make a big deal out of it, and then I usually eat there, or we set up the Friday night before, and so I get my teriyaki chicken then. So, I'm a real regular there, but some of those guys have seen us sing for like 15-plus years.
Oh, my goodness. So I didn't even realize that restaurant had been there that long.
Yeah, a long time.
Well, these programs are going to be a hit. They
really
are.
Yeah, come on out this Saturday and then put the 22nd on your calendar. It's also at noon. It's at the Marketplace Mall food court. So this Saturday in Danville, Saturday the 22nd at Marketplace Mall in Champaign.
It's the 20th year, right?
Yeah, 20th year
in a row.
It's
the anniversary year.
Yeah, we're excited. We're pumped. So.
Yeah.
I know today we're going to read about diamonds, and 'tis the season. I guess some people might be giving diamonds to their loved ones. I don't know. Won't be happening in this household. But
I'll take a diamond.
Yeah, diamond or two coming our ways. I don't know. But we're going to read about diamonds. But you got some paperwork in front
of
you.
Well, yeah, I do. Well, first of all, before we get to the paperwork, you're talking about 20 years. I met someone at church who said she has been listening to this radio station all 20 years.
It'll be 22. Yeah, 22 in April. So we're in our 23rd year, I think.
And she was even at that Vriner's kind of kickoff.
Oh, yeah,
event.
That was like one of our very first gatherings in Vriner's in downtown Champaign. Now it's like a bar, I guess.
I think it is.
So her name is Ice Cream Shop.
Her name is Vanessa Showalter. shelter. You.
Oh, I think, yeah, she, yeah? One time I was working with her, maybe when we had our placemat campaigns, okay, or some additional advertising. I think she was working at that point to be a realtor, not PASA, I mean, that's 20 or so years ago, a long time
think
ago.
Back.
But,
oh, she's, yeah, a sweetheart.
That name rings a bell.
Really a sweetheart. Now, this paperwork is Brenda Tennell.
Oh, sure.
Is,
good friend.
Yeah. She helps out at the Urbana Seminary.
Yeah, she attended classes for a period of time, I think. And
yeah,
now she's doing something with travel with
study
them.
Study abroad travel coordinator. And she and Joe Thomas, you know.
Oh, yeah, he's a good guy.
Him.
They're one of my pinnacle buddies.
They're leading the Urbana Seminary Reformation History Tour from Prague to Geneva in May 2019. Tour dates May 20 through 30, 2019. Visiting the cities of Prague, Wittenberg, Erfurt, I probably said that wrong, Eisenach, I'm not German, Mayras, Worms, Basel, Zurich, and Geneva. I know
Basil?
Those two. B-A-S-E-L, not the herb. So, yeah, that sounds...
Yeah, we'll probably have Joe in, interview him, get an update on the seminary. He also helps out with Judah Christian fundraising.
Oh, okay.
And he wears a number of caps. I think he's writing a script with one of our content contributors. And
oh,
I think
neat.
He's working on a book or two, and he teaches at the seminary. So Joe's, yeah, a colorful character. He's a part of the...
I hope he likes that description.
In a good way, yeah. We attend the same pinnacle meetings. It's the area leaders. And I think the last time we met up, we probably spoke and talked for about an hour, hour and a half,
yeah,
afterwards, just updating each other on the ministry work that we're doing. And, yeah, we'll get Joe in here,
yeah,
and maybe he can talk a little more about that and some of the work that he's doing.
Should we give the webpage?
Yeah,
hold
what's
on.
The website? So if anyone's interested in this tour, mm-hmm, they can find out more at...
Okay, I'm getting there. Hold on. Here it is. It's reformationtours.com/package/RUS19.
Okay, and if you didn't get that, which that would be hard to write down or have from memory.
I think I spoke it too quick.
Just call the station and we'll get that to you.
Yeah.
Or we'll have Joe explain it all when he gets in the studio in,
yeah,
the coming days.
It's so. Not till May, but people probably should sign up.
Start planning,
yeah,
now, thinking ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so, and there'll be a lot of teaching and history. And,
oh, I'm sure.
Like any kind of tour that you go on, you get a lot of information. You get to see sightseeing, taste the foods of the country, and
mm-hmm,
really enjoy all that went on. And that's a part of our Christian history and heritage,
yeah,
happened in those areas.
It says... They will trace the rich Protestant heritage through three countries, Germany, Switzerland, and the Czech Republic.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting. So let's see. So we got everyone scheduled to come out on Saturday.
Uh-huh.
And then, hey, stop by the Great News Radio Center anytime. I know,
yeah,
we've had guests as there's been the farmer's market here. Of course, the farmer's market has turned into like merchandising emporium.
I know.
All
I
sorts
know.
Of stuff go on here on
it's
Saturday.
It's not really just food anymore,
yeah,
at all.
Yeah, they sell everything. In fact, I've been here the last two Saturdays and a lot of traffic here at the mall. And
yeah,
I met this guy. His name is Shlomo.
Okay.
He's Jewish, but he's Messianic, and he's interesting. I'm not sure. He was from, like, the New England area, and he was still keeping, like, kosher. He had prayer tassels.
Oh, wow. He is.
But he said, yeah, I'm a Messianic believer. And so we've had a couple long, interesting conversations the past two Saturdays. In fact, he came on Friday night last week, and he was really intrigued by all the ping pong players that were out there. And then they play on Saturday after the farmer's market's
over. Oh, do
they?
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I got a lot of ping pong stories, but I won't.
Oh, my goodness. I can see it.
Yeah, I won't get that.
You should have seen the light up.
That. Yeah. So there's this guy. I was saying he was
from Congo. Oh, we're going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is there a place in Africa, Togo?
Yes, there is Togo.
Togo. I was saying
he was
from...
It's in West Africa.
Okay. This guy, his name is... Oh, I have to look. It's...
I had to study that history when I was in school in Ghana.
Well, I was saying he was from Congo, but then somebody said Togo.
There's a huge difference.
Okay, yeah, well, I now know that. Anyways, he's coming here. He's a physician. He's studying over in the mall here. They have classes or something that these guys that are going to get their...
Exam or something.
I guess,
something.
Yeah, it's before they take their exam. I guess they're learning some other things, and then how to take these exams, and they're studying, and then after these exams, they get their residency. Well, anyways, and this guy's going to be mission. Anyways, Well, anyway, yeah, I'm jumping all around. This guy is now the all-time best ping-pong player I've ever seen.
Well, now we're getting back to the subject. Yeah. He takes tests somewhere.
He's beating all the Chinese, and all the Chinese guys are going.
Oh, my.
I mean, this was kind of funny.
Oh, that's funny.
These three Chinese guys that are all top-tier players.
Oh, that's funny.
I mean, way better than me. I can't even, like, play them. I mean, they all volley with me, but they're so much better than me. Well, he's never lost. I've seen him now play like 40 different games. He's never lost a single one. But the first time he played a couple of weeks ago, the Chinese guys were like, they play ping pong in Africa,
in
which is like, it was kind of funny. He goes, yes, we even have ping pong tables there.
That's so funny to me.
They were like amazed. And so they all were exchanging numbers. And anyway.
Oh, funny.
So last week, I finally got his name from one of the Chinese guys. They said, oh, here's his name and here's his number. And so last Saturday I was in here and these guys were playing. And I text him. I said, hey, there's some really good players here. Why don't you come on over? And he never texts back or anything. Next thing I know, somebody says, hey, there's a black guy out there that's really good. I look at guys. Oh, that's – and it's like M-E-S-S-I-A-H-N. I'd have to look. Oh, I could find out. Anyways, I'll find out his official name because this is germane to the story.
Probably his only name. What do you mean his official name?
Yeah, that's right. His name. Where are you? I'm looking through my phone here. I put him under ping pong because I didn't know how his name was. Yeah, this is getting really boring. There's Robert.
Stay with us.
Yeah, I have him called table tennis because I didn't know what else.
Oh, my word.
So his name is M-E-S-S-A-N-H, like Masan. Uh-huh. You don't have to say the H. Uh-huh. Anyway, so he's out there playing, and I probably watched him for an hour, and he beat, there was like, at that point, four Chinese guys, and he beat all of them, and two Americans, and Robert, the farmer, who's like one of the top-tier players, number three in the area.
And a regular
he lost that.
Contest.
He lost every game to that guy, too.
Oh,
and so they were all marveling.
Did you beat him? Is
No, so I was watching, cheering him on. And anyways, so we get home that night, and I was telling Holly about him. I said, this guy is phenomenal. Well, there's not too many people with that name like Masan. Mm-hmm. She types it in, does a search. He was on the national team for, so he is like a pro.
Oh, that's funny.
He was a collegiate athletics. He was representing Liberty University.
Okay.
And he was their top player, and there was this like the college collegiate championship.
Seriously.
And he was like in the round robin championship.
Oh, my
so I'm
word.
Watching him play and I'm saying that's him on
he's
YouTube
a master.
Video. Yeah.
So, he's not just a ping pong player.
No, no, but he's very humble about it and very sweet, likable kind of guy, great smile. And I just went up to him. I said, are you a Christian? Because I just had that sense, you know, that intuitive.
Yeah.
He just had a lot of light about him. He goes, I am.
Yeah.
And so we just talked a little and then he kept playing. So then I've texted him because I said, hey, where do you go to church? And he was like, well, I'm not really connected because he's in studying. Mm-hmm. I forget where his home is, like in Virginia or somewhere. Anyway, so I then text him later on. Hey, I want to take you out to dinner. And hey, you also have to have some spiritual food. I want to get you into church. And he said he agreed. You know.
Good.
So anyways, I've seen great top tier best players. He's now number one.
Well, we need to have
number
him
one.
In.
Yeah, so we're going to try to set him up with the table tennis club champion Bryant and see if I can get those two to play because that'll be really fun to watch.
This is your Monday sportscast.
Yeah.
In case you didn't know where you were.
We better get on to talking about diamonds. I think we have just enough time to cover this chapter.
Try it.
So we're going to be reading out of Memories of an African Son. Thanks for staying with us this morning. Indulging me with my little ping pong history.
Oh, that's a great story, actually.
Oh, a lot more to it.
Oh, I want to hear it. Okay, chapter 26, Diamonds. There is nothing wrong with diamonds. In fact, there is much right with them. Riveting elements of astounding beauty, they come up to us from deep within the earth. Few things equal the raw, shining glory of these stones. One of the hardest substances on earth, a diamond can cut through surfaces nothing else will touch. God instructed Moses that the breastplate of judgment for the high priest was to include a diamond. You shall make a breastpiece of judgment, the work of a skillful workman. You shall mount on it four rows of stones, the second row a turquoise, a sapphire, and a diamond. Exodus 28:15-18. In fact, the city of God itself, is covered in pearl, gold, and jewels of many kinds. Revelation 21:19-21. As with most things, diamonds were created good. But as we've done with so many things that have no inherent evil, we have managed to corrupt almost the word itself with our own greed and abuse. At age 10, during a family trip, I stood above the huge, big hole of the Kimberley Diamond Mines in South Africa, probably the largest hole ever dug into the earth by hand. Hmm. Further north was the mine where the Great Star of Africa, cut from the Cullinan Diamond, had been found. I knew what the Star of Africa was. It was, at that time, the largest cut diamond in the world, and I had seen it. Hmm. When in England, we had gone into the padded, silent, and darkened room in the Tower of London and seen the breathtaking crown jewels of the United Kingdom. And there, mounted in the king's scepter, on instruction of Edward VII, was the multifaceted, breathtakingly beautiful Star of Africa. And in the imperial state crown sat the Lesser Star of Africa, also cut from the Cullinan Diamond. The diamonds were majestic stones of a master creator, cut by master craftsmen, and unearthed on the backs of slaves. The history of South Africa is inextricably linked to the diamond mines, and much of its glittering wealth was built upon them. It is very likely that the basis of what later became modern South Africa as we know it began in the diamond mines, and that the apartheid that would finally come to full birth in the 1940s was first conceived many years before in those same mines. Though the colonialists in South Africa had adopted an early form of pass law in 1815, saying that black Africans could not move about freely in white-owned areas without a pass, it had been quickly revoked, in part by the loud voices of the anti-slavery movement that was gaining momentum in England. But in 1872, black Africans were denied any right to hold land in diamond mining areas, and the pass law was reinstated. This time, denying Africans the right to wander about freely on their own lands, as well as the right to leave the job they had been given for any reason. Though skirting the word slavery due to new strong sentiments against it in both America and England, the burgeoning diamond owners of South Africa managed to install it anyway. They just renamed it, and the stage was set. It was the Prime Minister of South Africa, the famous Cecil Rhodes, founder of the most famous diamond mining company in the world, who articulated in the late 1880s what would later become the travesty that finally birthed in South Africa. He advocated for class legislation, for pass laws, calling for the indigenous natives to be treated differently than the white race, who would rule over them. He managed to initially silence the British missionaries, who spoke out loudly against his policies, though others of the missionaries agreed with him, and at least one even aided him. It was Cecil Rhodes and his emissaries who cruelly tricked the Matabeleland chief Lobengula into signing away rights to much of the gold and also the land of the country Rhodes eventually named after himself, Rhodesia. Missionaries of the time arrived at Lobengula's compound too late, and he asked them to examine the papers he had signed for Rhodes. In dismay and anger, they translated and read the fine print to him. We were touring the old diamond mine during a journey down to Cape Town in South Africa to visit a family there. I found the country to be remarkably different from Zimbabwe, still called Rhodesia. Everything felt different, even the air itself. I've heard others make this same distinction, and though I've tried, I can't explain it. Things were definitely not right in Rhodesia. The effects of colonialism, the racism, and the usurping of land terribly damaged the people there. It had been a grievous sin, brutal and cruel in its implementation. In some cases, the African people had been forcibly removed from their homes and ancestral lands, murdered or beaten, and their villages burned to the ground. Their enormous herds of cattle had been stolen or cruelly slaughtered. The people had been herded into wagons and relocated to dry, arid land to endure ongoing poverty. But the particular brand of apartheid in South Africa was something different yet again. It was in full swing when we were there, and it was utterly disturbing. Nelson Mandela had been recently locked away in prison, with by far most of the years he would spend there still ahead of him. The white cities seemed highly modern and westernized for the time, and the black townships a massive disgrace. I had a European friend from Zimbabwe whose sister in Johannesburg had to quickly hide her servant's baby under the bed so that the infant would not be found when someone unexpectedly knocked on the door. The baby, who did not have the necessary papers to be in the city, thankfully gave no cry from its hiding place. I remember thinking at that moment that this was the worst place I had ever heard of. We drove up the beautiful coast near Port Elizabeth. I fell in love with the sterling blue Indian Ocean. We saw the fun surfers at Durban. We visited the just burgeoning upscale areas of Cape Town. But I recall feeling so confused by everything and just wanting to go home, back to Zimbabwe. No, not just to Zimbabwe. I wanted to go back to the people living in the tribal trust lands. They should not have been forced to live there, but I preferred being there with them. I didn't want anything to do with this place. Even though I know great and even successful effort has been made for change in South Africa during the long years since, and I'm now friends with wonderful people from various backgrounds there, it has been hard for me to let go of those initial experiences. Sometimes, when I look at the twinkling stars sparkling like brilliant diamonds on a dark surface, or I look at the diamond in my mother's wedding ring, I simply ask, why? Why do people have to ruin the best things? Why do they degenerate into despicable actions and into greed and hatred? Why does the word diamond now have to carry with it these thoughts of slavery and hideous actions? Why can't we live right? Maybe it's too much to expect the world at large to even want to follow pathways of justice, integrity, and fairness, though I would certainly like to think that people in general could rise to those attributes. And sadly, some professing Christians only hold a form of godliness and do not actually live by its power and truths, as it says in the book of 2 Timothy 3:5. But it's not too much to expect from those of us who say we truly believe our God, and not too much for people of character anywhere who want to create a better world. As Micah 6:8 says, "And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." That scripture and its meaning was sorely missing in the diamond mines of old South Africa. Father, forgive us. Forgive us for travesty. Forgive us for not honoring the beauty of your earth. Forgive us for the mishandling of your gifts from the earth and for the mistreatment of our fellow human beings. Dear God, show us all a better way, a truer way, a finer way. Show us the way of honor. Let our lives reflect your love, your light, and your graciousness as a diamond reflects the light. Please help us all be part of setting things right, of redemption.
And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Oh, I'll leave it at that. It's time to go as our usual wait. What a great chapter. Wow, a lot to think about as we are in the season of gift giving and the many things that go into even purchasing the things. But this kind of unfolds a whole other aspect of looking at things and possessions and how we treat each other.
One of the greatest gifts we can give is the gift of honor and dignity.
A lot to think about. Well, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Marianne Simpkins with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night. We are one.